And of course, our final hour of open lines here Friday into Saturday morning. So get ready. We're going to get to all of you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go to our Skype line. We're going to Seoul, South Korea. Chris is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call. Really always wanted to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. How are you doing out there? What's new?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to tell you a story, but I'm afraid I'm not a very good storyteller, so I hope you can help me.
Okay, I'll do the best I can for you, Chris.
Story's about a Ouija board. And this happened to me in the summer of 1995 or so.
Okay.
A high school friend of mine had recently passed away. You see, he had this hobby of kind of playing with homemade bombs. And my friends and I were about 14 or 15 at the time he died. And another friend of mine, that summer, we decided to play around with a Ouija board, and we'd never done that before. And wouldn't you know, we got our friend who passed away on the thing, spelling out his name. His name was Craig. And he just told us things like he didn't like our science teacher, and he was currently in Nirvana instead of heaven, I guess. Yeah, and eventually we said goodbye to him. You know, we were kind of young, got a little bit bored.
And were you convinced that you reached him?
Oh, it sounded like him, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know if my friend was moving it or not. I certainly wasn't. But anyway, we got back to the Ouija board a little bit later, and we thought we could, you know, get him back or get someone else. But instead, we got someone really strange who just kept telling us to go away and go away, and we kept asking who it was. And so he spelled out a name that was very weird to us, and I researched it later, and it was some Latin name. But anyway, we knew something was a little bit off when we asked where he was, and he spelled out hell.
Ooh.
And yeah, we were a little spooked by that. But we eventually asked him, you know, exactly what he wanted from us, why he was telling us to do all kinds of these crazy things I won't go into, but he just told us he wanted us to get souls for him.
Collect the souls for him.
Yeah. He
was the devil.
I don't know.
Or an assistant. And what was the name that you spelled out?
It might have been something like Beelzebub or some other name.
All right. Well, that's his name. Yeah.
It was a while ago. Finally, we had told it that we were going to leave, and it just said no over and over again. And we said, well, why can't we go? And he said he wasn't finished with us or something like that. And we said, well, tell us again, where are you? Are you really in hell? And he said, no. And then we said, well, where are you now? And he said, well, I'm right outside. So we were quite spooked by that, and I can't say a Ouija board has ever worked for me again.
Good. I'm glad you don't use those things, Chris, and thanks for the calling. Isn't technology incredible? I mean, here we are doing our radio show syndicated worldwide, and we're getting calls from Korea, India. Truly remarkable technology. When it works, it's darn good, isn't it? Let's go to Brandon, first-time caller in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, George. I'm actually not the first-time caller. I was on with you last Friday night.
You were. That's the same you. Okay.
At the exact same time.
How'd you get on the first-time caller line?
I have no idea.
All right.
I think I might have. I don't know.
But you made it, so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, last week I didn't get to thank you and Ian for keeping me awake on Friday and Saturday nights. That's a big help to me as I'm out driving every Friday and Saturday night.
Well, that's what we're here for, Brandon, so you're welcome.
What I wanted to call and ask you about is if you have seen the video on YouTube of the UFO over Jerusalem?
Yes, I sure have.
I mean, do you think that is a legitimate video? I mean,
well, some say, Brandon, that it's a hoax. I don't know. I don't think so. To me, it looks pretty authentic. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But it looks real to me, at least that video portion does.
Yeah, I mean, of all the UFO videos I've seen, that looks the most legit, in my opinion, that I've ever seen.
It was. It's one of, and it's one. I think one of the most compelling videos out there right now. Diane is in Port Clinton, Ohio, and now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Diane.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I have to tell you, I'm nervous, so I apologize. But I just wanted to tell you about an experience that I had after listening to Evelyn Paglini.
Yeah, the good witch, the white witch. Oh,
yes, but boy, is she good.
She is good.
It must have been 9 years ago, 10 years ago, she was on the show. And she was saying that you could create a familiar, send it to the person that's creating problems in your life or that's trying to harm you. Well, I had a stalker. And I was listening to her program, and I thought, I know that this person is afraid of tigers, so I'm going to try and send a tiger to this person to tell him to leave me alone.
He must have bugged you like crazy, huh?
Oh, you know what? He was schizophrenic. And I'm a little nervous because he listens to this program. I don't know if he still does. Like I said, it's been, you know, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. Anyway,
he might.
I was laying there. I turned off the radio, and I thought, I'm going to try to send this tiger to him and tell him to leave me alone. So what I did was I called on my angels to protect me, and then I started projecting this tiger to go to him, and it took maybe 15 to 20 seconds, and oh my God, I heard this roar. God is my witness. It came off from like off in the distance, and it was like roar, and it actually impacted the windows on the house and the doors like a strong gust of wind. It scared me so bad, I jumped up out of bed, and then I thought, oh, no, I've got to keep sending this thing on, because whatever I did, I don't want it here. So I quickly closed my eyes and imagined it going to him and telling him to leave me alone, that I'm protected. Well, it terrified me, because I didn't know what I did.
Right.
And I'm not crazy, but I couldn't understand why this roar, which came from, like, off in the distance, and just, I mean, I know what I heard. And it was strange, because the next morning, the place that I worked, I stay there overnight. The next morning when I had gotten home, his wife was calling me saying, you know, Diane, you know, please call this person. He's over here going crazy. I don't know what's happening. But it scared me. So, you know, I didn't know what I had created. So I emailed Evelyn Paglini, and I asked her, you know, what did I do? So she told me that I had created a familiar, and that if I continued to give it energy, it would last for about three, or no, that it would last for about 3 days, but if I continued giving it energy, it would
indefinitely
go away.
Oh, it would go away.
Wait, yeah, it would go, if I continued giving it energy, it would continue on.
Right.
Well, what was strange is, you know, I had meditated a lot and that type of thing, but I mean, this shocked me that something like this happened so quickly. So through a friend of a friend, I spoke with a Wiccan priest, and he told me that it's impossible to do that. You must have been extremely upset, or you must have been in the practice for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And it's like, no, she just said that you could do it. So I tried it and did it.
Yeah, and I believe her. I think she's right.
Yeah, well, you know what? It scared me. And
anyways, did he stop stalking you?
He did. He did, and I really, truly believe this tiger went to him, and I just pray to God that he's not listening to this program, because, like I said, he is schizophrenic.
He started up again, huh?
Wow. Yeah, I would hate that, but I know that the tiger does work, so...
Keep that tiger on a leash, huh?
Well, you know, I was told that you need to call it back to you through this high priest that I had been emailing.
Did you ever do that?
I don't know how. Like I said, this is
good. So you've got a tiger on the loose out there.
Well, hopefully it's gone now. But like I said, it sounds crazy. And if somebody would have told me that they did that and they heard this thing roar and kind of the like a strong gust of wind impact the house, I would think they were crazy. But you know, like Christian Day was talking, you know, there are things out there that we can conjure up without really knowing what we're doing. And there's no telling what we're doing.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, Evelyn Paglini, we're talking about scheduling her as a guest. She had been not feeling too well and is feeling much better now. So we hopefully will get her back on. Let's go to Tony in Tule Lake, California. Welcome to the program, Tony.
Hey, George. Hi. Thank you so very much for having me on.
You are so welcome.
Hey, I wanted to share two things with you.
All right.
One of them is, to me, is extremely important, and extremely frightening. Back in the 1960s, it's not around anymore, there was a radio, an FM radio station in San Francisco, okay?
All right.
And that was the regular FM, a lot of the time, they ran radio station programs that most FM stations ran back then, but they were run by an unusual lot of men and women, and they just to give you an idea, on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock, they had a program called Anything Goes, and it would start off with an old fashioned motor, you know, backfiring and everything and cranking up, and they would do weird things, like they would tell you to take a candle, put it in front of your 3 inches or 4 inches in front of your speaker for your radio, and turn the bass all the way up. And they blew the candle out. So anyway, they did something absolutely frightening. Now, everybody, as far as I know, most people in the San Francisco Bay Area, as far south as San Jose, knew who most of their announcers were, and they were all involved in this. Their newscasters, everything. I think it was 63 or 64. They redid Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, but in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Did they kind of update it?
Oh, my gosh, did they? When one of the war machines, the one that landed right outside the Shell oil refinery there, raised up, you could hear the hydraulics as it lifted up. And I forget the name of the newscaster that was very well known because he was worked for them for years, was describing what was going on and explained how the heat ray came out and started blasting the big oil tanks and everything there. I don't know if they're still there or not, but at the time there was a big, you know, oil refinery with several hundred of these big, huge round tanks. You know, they were black bodied with silver tops.
Did you know it was a spoof?
And you could hear all the explosions and everything, and it was, you know, I tell you, it was frightening. And I wanted to tell you about it. One of the people that worked there, his name was Gary Gilo. I don't know if he's still around or not, but if he's out there, call in and talk to George about this, because what I'm hoping is that with your vast radio audience out there, they had an auction. And when they closed the station down and sold everything off, including the two or three different versions of the War of the Worlds they had. And I'm hoping that maybe somebody out there has the original one. The other two they did were not as good as the first one. But if you could get a copy of the first one and maybe in some future Halloween run the program, you could probably scare the heck out of everybody in the San Francisco
Bay Area. Was this station, was it in Atherton also? That's a suburb, isn't it?
All right. Don't know where it was. All I remember is it was the San Francisco area, and it was called KPEM.
That's right. That was the old 101.3.
Something like that. Yeah, you're starting to bring back memories on me.
It was April 17th, 1964.
Oh, you got it.
Yep.
I'll be darned.
That's it.
Well, that darn show.
I'm an old radio guy. I remember all these things, Tony.
Well, I can tell you, it scared the bediddles out of me. I'm sitting there listening to all of these familiar places. They were talking about war machines coming down Market Street, blasting the Embarcadero, you know, and thousands of people trying to get away from the heat rays. I don't remember if they used the black smoke that was in the original Orson Welles show or not, but I know I recorded it. I had a rough recording because back then FM, I was down in the Santa Clara area. And so KPEN at night sometimes wavered in and out.
Well, they used to do a lot of things that we do, and maybe the names you remember, John Bigby, Wayne Jordan, Terry Smith.
Wayne Jordan, I remember.
Yeah, they were all out there. Okay, hey, thanks, Tony. Got to move on. But you know what? That's a classic, and I'm glad that they did that. And I was being interviewed for a newspaper about 6 months ago, and he said, one of the things we love about Coast to Coast is that it just feels like old-time radio. You just feel closer with the people that you listen to it with, like the couple that just got engaged on the program, where in the old days, when there was not any television, when television did not exist, people would gather around this big old radio in their living room, and just sit as a family and listen to old-time radio shows time and time again. And that's kind of one of the luxuries that we want to do with Coast to Coast, in addition to being the truth seeker for you, going after the stories that require going after. For example, in Pinellas County, Florida, where they have decided to take the fluoride out of the water. I mean, that to me is a huge story. And let's hope some other communities decide to do the same thing. Let's go to Danny in Philadelphia. Hey, Danny, take it away.
All right, thanks, George. I want to say congratulations to Emily and James. I'm calling because you had some guests on not too long ago, and they were, I think they were brothers, and they were like into like telling haunted stories. And
stuff. Oh, the Booth brothers.
Yeah, you got to get them back on, man.
I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be with them tomorrow morning in Florida at my speaking engagement.
Oh, are you going to have them back on the radio? Anytime?
Oh, yeah, they'll come back. They do some stuff for sci-fi and all kinds of great things.
Yeah, I forgot their name, but yeah, it's the Booth brothers. That was a great show.
Yeah, one of them's Christopher Booth, and then his brother.
Yeah, they were great.
His brother John Wilkes Booth.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
John Wilkes. Okay, that's a good one. People be saying that how they see people just disappear right in front of them. Well, that happened to me about 2 weeks ago, coming from the CVS the other night. And this girl was walking behind me, and she was about two car lengths behind me. The parking lot was empty.
Yeah.
And I looked back, and I see her. And then, you know, I wanted to take a second look. You know, I'm single.
And she ran away. That's what happened to her.
I mean, it was nowhere to go. We was in a big park. I mean, she just disappeared. It was
gone.
Like,
poof.
It freaked me out, man. I'm in a new neighborhood. I was like, oh man, this is crazy around here. And she had a black hoodie. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it's stuff happening. People.
Danny, what if she was a vampire and she was planning to bite you?
Well, she would have had her day, man. I guess because
you would have fallen in for it, huh?
Well, she liked the ladies on True Blood. I probably wouldn't have minded.
You never know. All right, thanks, Danny. Up there in Philadelphia. By the way, Al Bielek passed away this week. Al Bielek, of course, from the Philadelphia fame. He has brought us years of great stories here on Coast to Coast AM, and he will be missed. He was in his 80s. His health has been failing, and it took a while for us to finally get official word that he had passed on. We could not verify it. He's gone. Al Bielek in his 80s. Richard in Miami, Florida. I'll get you after the break, Richard. Let me tell everybody a little bit about what's in store for the rest of the week. Then we'll come back with more open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. As I mentioned, Ian Punnett, of course, will be on Saturday. George Knapp will be on Sunday. I'm going to join George for a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour. And then that's Pacific time, of course. And then Rosemary Ellen Guiley is his main guest. She talks about our book, a book I wrote with her called Talking to the Dead. And I'm looking forward to listening to that, just to hear Rosemary about that. Then on Monday, Hal Lindsey joins us, the late great Planet Earth. On Tuesday, we're going to be talking about lost stones, and Eric Von Doniken joins us as well, Chariot of the Gods, special things on the afterlife on Wednesday, a major program on crystal skulls on Thursday, and then back to open lines again on Friday. We'll be right back with more open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we've got open lines for you. This is our final segment, so get ready to go right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go with the final open line calls. By the way, those of you in the greater Florida area, if you want to come to my event tomorrow, simply go to our website, which you'll find under the host list at coasttocoastam.com, or you'll also find the calendar section right there at the bottom of the homepage. Let's go to Miami, Florida now. Richard's with us. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I love your work. You're such a great guy. I follow you all the time, Ancient Aliens, everything. I just really appreciate your show. You really opened up my mind since I've been...
How far are you from Pensacola? Is that a few hours? Yeah, that's a book. Okay. All right.
But I would love to come see you, but I'm working tomorrow.
Ah, okay. That well, that's important.
Yeah. Okay, well, my story is, it's kind of weird. My family, we're kind of mixed. My parents raised me to be very Christian, very religious. And my aunt is very Santera. And it's really weird because, you know, they do the animal sacrifices the whole night, you know.
That's
sometimes
right.
And when I walk in the house, it's like my hair stands up on the back of my neck. You know, you can feel there's something weird going on, you know. So whatever. So I was visiting my cousin. This is about 10, 15 years ago. And we're in the kitchen, and actually we're, you know, pouring out a little bit of liquor. Just, you know, nothing much. We weren't drunk or anything. And all of a sudden, we weren't even talking to each other. We just both instantly turned around and looked at the door to the kitchen. And we saw a figure. I mean, I saw a figure. And we didn't say anything to each other. We just ran towards the door. As soon as we looked around the corner, it was gone. And I was like, what was that? He's like, oh, you can never talk about that again. You know, you can never speak about that. I'm like, why? What's the big deal? He's like, no, just drop it. So, you know, forward to later on the night, I was sleeping over. I didn't have anywhere to stay, so I was, like, sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm a real sound sleeper, George. It takes a lot to wake me up. And instantly, I was wide awake. I mean, completely lucid, awake. And I looked up, and this thing, I mean, it was, like, standing right above me. It was like, if it had ankles, it would be right by my ears or a little bit above, like by my head. And it was just staring at me in this white robe, and it had no face. You could see it was just dark. And I got so scared that I didn't know what to do. I was like petrified with fear. So I just closed my eyes and I was like, go away, go away, go away. And, you know, when I opened my eyes again, I don't know how long it took me. It was gone. And, you know, when I bring it up to them, they don't want to talk about it. They tell me, no, don't ever talk about this. Don't ever talk about this. I still don't know why. But
gosh, that's like heart attack time, isn't it?
Yeah, it really freaked me out, to say the least.
I wonder what this thing was.
I have no idea. It's probably one of the saints that, you know, that they're always, you know, praying to or whatever they do.
They conjured him up.
Yeah, I mean, it was like probably a protector since I was never in the house. It was just trying to figure out who I was or just watching me. I don't know. It was really weird.
Though you were scared, Richard, you didn't feel threatened, did you?
Actually, it was scary. Like I felt mortally afraid. Like, I didn't know if it was going to hurt me or not, but it just felt so wrong that I don't know. I've never felt like that before, ever, and I've never felt like that again.
All right, my friend. Good story, and I'm glad you're okay. Let's go to Dan. He's in an Indian reservation in Oregon. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure, Dan.
I have a brother that passed away about 17 years ago, and he's reincarnated on the planet Lyra, where the Indians and Mexicans go that transition, and he communicated a lot with Bigfoot, and they sent a message. I was taken on the 2nd of this month, and they said, anybody that hunts Bigfoot will not go to heaven. Roger Patterson, who took the picture of the one down in California, did not go to heaven. He died in, I think, in 1972. He had cancer.
How do we know he didn't go to heaven?
Well, the ones up there in heaven know. My brother up there said the message that anybody that hunts Bigfoot does not go to heaven. So this Matt Moneymaker and all of those others that have been out hunting Bigfoot, Roger Patterson didn't go, and none of the rest of them that he reported to me that have passed on did not go to heaven.
Now, what's your definition, though, Dan, of hunting Bigfoot? To me, that sounds like chasing them with a rifle.
No. Anybody that goes out and hunts them, there are certain ones that see them, can communicate with them. I know of four different ones. One is in eastern Texas, and she is a, I forget what nationality Indian, but most all of them are Indians that see them, and they are allowed to see them. Certain ones, the star people, are allowed to see them. Anyone, for instance, like this professor over in Idaho that is always out hunting them. In fact, some of his people even put boards down with screws up for him to get DNA.
Jeez, so he's not going to heaven?
Absolutely not, and he's been contacted, and we even contacted the president of the college, and they pay no attention.
Well, well, it's kind of difficult.
Some of them have been killed. In fact, there was one that was even covered on Coast to Coast about 5 years ago down at China Lake that was crossed with a North Korean, and the offspring of that was seen by a fishing trawler, and that was covered on Coast to Coast.
What do you think Bigfoot might be?
They are the ancient ones that God put here to clean up the planet after the flood. So they've been here for under 2,000 years. But they will soon be all gathered and taken back to the homeworld. That's the big tree land, which is 12 light years from where God lives.
In a craft?
Absolutely. Everything goes in craft.
Okay.
Everything in heaven travels in craft. There are no aliens in heaven.
Interesting. Well, you know what? I have long told people, Dan, not to hunt Bigfoot. I mean, I had a call once from a Marine who said he was going out to shoot Bigfoot, and I think I talked him out of it. Let's go to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Ron's with us. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Good. I'm great. Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you, I'm an ordained minister, and this is such an unusual thing to happen to me, it happened a couple of years ago, and I think you had a lady on the radio about similar things to this. What it was, where I parked my car on the base, I had me a high profile job on base, as far as kind of undercover.
Okay.
And I always parked my car at the very end of the building. And I would walk down. I would park, just take a stroll early in the morning. I would get up early about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd start listening to your show and just go in and do some work. And I noticed to my left, I was looking to my left, and I seen something moving towards my left. And as I kept on going, I glanced over there, and it was still moving. Well, I thought it was maybe shadows early in the morning. But as I walked up my walkway to go to my office door, a vision, I don't know what you would call it, came in front of me like a snake and twirled up and looked directly into my eyes. And with red eyes, you could see his mouth like he wanted to speak to me. I said, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And it was gone just that quick. But it was actually talking to me. I had no idea what it was. It was kind of freaky knowing that. And I don't believe in none of that because, I'm a minister.
Sure.
And it was just freaky. And you had a lady on not long after that about shadows and stuff like that on your show.
Yep. No, that's true. That's absolutely true. First time caller is Michael in New York. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi, George. Pleasure to speak to you.
Sure.
Back when I was like 18, 19, I was staying at my girlfriend's house in New Paltz, New York.
Okay.
Like right across the river from.
Sure.
It's like right across the river from where I'm at. And
you're in Poughkeepsie, like, right?
Yes, I'm in Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
And I was awakened by this, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened by this something kept calling my name. And it wasn't calling me by my birth name, it was calling me by my nickname, which is Cookie. And it kept saying, Cookie, Cookie. And I thought I was dreaming. So I started answering, I kept saying, what, what? And as I kept saying what more and more, I started to wake up and I realized I wasn't dreaming. And then in the doorway of the room I was sleeping in, I saw this blue, like, light. And then in the middle of this light, a figure started to appear, and it kept calling my name. And I'm looking, and I'm still thinking I'm dreaming, but at the same time, I'm like, is that real? And I'm starting to wake up more and more. And then I'm finally, once I realized that, like, I'm fully awake and I'm looking, And I can see this. I couldn't see a face, nothing. It was just this figure in this blue light around inside, like in the doorway. And I'm looking at it, and it was like when I'm fully awakened, this, I'm looking at it for like 2 or 3 more seconds, and it just disappears.
How did it know to call you Cookie?
I don't know. And I thought I was dreaming. It just kept saying Cookie. That's what woke me up. And I thought I was dreaming until it just kept calling my name until I was fully up. And I'm sitting up in the bed, and I'm looking at it. But I thought I was dreaming, but when I realized I was really awake and I was looking at it, it just disappeared. It was just going like that. And I was like, it was the strangest thing. It's never happened to me again, but that was the strangest thing.
A lot of strange things, Michael, happening to people all around this planet. Let's go to Montana. It's Gail's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Gail. Good morning.
Yeah, good. Welcome to from the Big Sky State. When are you going to come on up here and see us?
I'm told it's God's country. I should.
Yes, it is. It's God's country. You go into Glacier Park, and it's very sacred to the Native Americans and to the great spirit of the universe. And there's a lot of Native American names up there. And I've got about an eighth in me of Chippewa. But today I wanted to go for my daily walk, and but I was a little tired, and I laid down to take just a little nap. And usually I don't lay down to nap. I just kind of nap in my recliner. And I know you've heard about these before, and I've heard you talk about them with other people, but I can't remember. So I fell asleep, but then it was kind of like time to wake up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Something was waking me up, and then something was pulling me back to sleep. And I was caught in the middle, and you know, I was fighting, like struggling, and I don't know what it is that causes that, but I've had that happen to me before.
It's not sleep paralysis, is it?
I don't know if it's sleep paralysis or not. It's like where I couldn't wake up, and I was fighting to wake up, and I wanted to wake up. And yet, it was pulling me back to,
holding you down.
Maybe that is a description of sleep paralysis. Yeah. I'm not familiar with it.
It could be, Gail. That could be part of your symptoms. Let's go to Princeton, Indiana. Cody, let's squeeze you in here. Got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, George, it's all I need. Just got the strep part.
Okay. Super.
And, I'm a friend of Gary Patterson's, and I'd like to share something with you that it's along the Erie prophetic rock lyrics area.
Okay.
Of rock music. And the GMO seeds aren't eaten by wildlife, not eaten by cows for the most part.
They're smart.
Yeah, they are smart. And Jeffrey Smith's website will show that.
Yep.
And even when they spill grain around here, the birds won't eat it. And that's strange, but
it's amazing how they have this mechanism within themselves to do that. But anyways, go ahead, Cody. We only have about a minute left.
All right. I need less than that. Pink Floyd has a song that parallels the GMO situation. It was made in 1994 from the Division Bell called Coming Back to Life.
Okay.
Virtually the whole song parallels the situation. Just look at the words. There's one line that's quite spooky. It's called, while the seeds of life and the seeds of change are planted. While the seeds of life and the seeds of change were planted.
Well, whoever wrote it, the specific person who wrote it for that group, probably knew exactly what was going on, to be sure. It's been a fascinating week here on Coast to Coast, but more shows are coming. It just doesn't stop. Let's sit back, enjoy, because here he is, UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.